Meister Shani Perik Base, Mishnah Dalad 2-4. We continue to discuss the same topic as we have for the past two Mishnayos. Here we talk about certain leniencies that apply to Karshinin, bitter vetch. We will get to the topic of leniencies regarding Truma, which is how we got into this discussion. But first, we'll discuss certain leniencies that apply to Karshinim when they are Meister Shani. Just a moment of background here. This bitter vetch stuff is a grain, actually. The kernels look a lot like red legumes. And you prepare it essentially by soaking in water a bunch of times to take a lot of this bitterness out before you turn it into food. Now, since the taste is really bitter and unpleasant, under normal circumstances, human beings don't eat karshinim. They avoid bitter vetch if they can, but it's edible, and there have been times when people did resort to eating it, certainly in times of famine. So it can be eaten, and since it can be eaten as food, if one cultivates it, it's treated as food to the extent that there are halachas of the tithing applies to it. The rules of Hafrashos, Meister Shani, and Truma, etc. all apply to Karshinin, since it can be eaten by human beings, but in fact, normally it's just used as animal fodder, and that's true even to the present day where it's cultivated for animal fodder. So, with that, the Mishnah says inside, Karshinim Meister Shani. First, let's talk about Karshinim that have the Meister Shani Kedusha. That means you cultivated these Karshinim, you separated the Meister Shani, you bring it to Yerushalayim. Ye'achlu Tzimchonim. When you eat them, you have to eat them when they're still green and fresh, because once they dry out, they become totally inedible, and then you've wasted it, and that's disallowed. The same way in Tilton, the fenugreek of the previous Mishnah, you have to eat it Meister Shani before it goes to waste and gets hard. So too when it comes to Karshinim. In addition, when it comes to Karshinim Meister Shani, v'nichnasin liyushalayim v'yotzin, they can come into Yerushalayim and then go out again. Now that is unusual. The normal rule when it comes to Meister Shani is if foodstuffs that have Kedushas Meister Shani come into Yerushalayim, there's no turning back. You can't redeem them in Yerushalayim, you can't take them out of Yerushalayim, you must eat them there. An exception to that rule is the Karshinin we have here, where one is allowed to take them out of Yerushalayim. Now the reason why this leniency exists is because the Karshinim aren't really food. It's like really second-class food or only bidyevet food, and therefore there are leniencies that apply. More than that, actually, we're not being that lenient. We're not actually saying you can take the karshinim home with you. What we're saying is you can do the milling, like the grinding, etc., the production of bitter vetch bread outside of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, I'm sure, was rather crowded and hectic when during the holidays, and people were producing lots of Meister Shani food, etc., etc. So you can do the production of your bitter vetch bread out of Yerushalayim, but then you have to bring it back into Yerushalayim and consume it here. So, who here, meaning here inside Yerushalayim. So that's what it means here. You can take it out, because we're lenient, but you still have to bring it back. Now, nitmu, if it becomes tame, so normally when it comes to Meister Shani, if you have Meister Shani food that becomes tame, it's not that big a deal. You just redeem it, putting the kedusha onto a coin, as we've seen already. You'll eat that foodstuffs, and then you'll use the money to buy other foods for consumption, and that's allowed even inside Yerushalayim. In other words, you're not allowed to redeem foodstuffs in Yerushalayim that have Kedushas Meister Shani, but that's if it's Tahor. If it's Tama, you can. But, ironically, at least Rabbi Tarfon is going to be strict, and Rabbi Tarfon is going to say you are not allowed to redeem Meister Shani Karshinim that became Tame. And the reason why is because there's a general rule. One isn't allowed to redeem food that has some level of Kedusha if, when you deconsecrate it, the plan is to give it to animals. That's considered to be disrespectful, and therefore we just don't do it. So normally you cannot be mechalel, deconsecrate kadosh food, if the game plan for that food stuff is to give it to animals. Now, Rav Tarfon says, listen, this is normally animal food, and therefore I know what you're thinking. You're thinking you're going to give this to animals, says he, or you're likely to give it to animals. And therefore, since that's the probable game plan, Rav Tarfon is ironically strict when it comes to Karshinim that are Meister Shani that became Tameh, and says, unlike other foods which are more lenient, when it comes to Karshinim, that's Meister Shani, that's Tame, you may not redeem it, because it'll end up being given to animals, which is not acceptable, says he. And therefore, your plan B is when you make the dough from your Karshinim, the Tame dough, what you'll have to do is you'll have to mix that Karshinim flour that you're preparing the dough with another batch of flour, such that the quantity of Tame ingredients that you're putting into this composite dough of you know, let's call it flour plus vetch together, the vetch component is less than a kibetza. If the vetch component is less than a kibetza, the tumah that's therein cannot be transferred to the rest of the dough, because food that's less than a kebetz inside cannot transfer tumah. And that being the case, Reb Tarfon says, Yischalku l'isos, you should divide up your bitter vetch dough or flour into other batches of dough, in which the amount of bitter vetch you put in is less than a kebetza. That way you end up making this into bread and eating it into Yerushalayim, keeping the rules of Ma'aser Sheni as they should be, and yet not conveying tumah from the bitter vetch beyond. So that's what it says here, Yischalku l'isos, you divide it up into lots of smaller doughs. The Chacham Omrim Yipadu, the Chacham are lenient, and they say it's not a problem, since really this karshina stuff isn't really food. We're lenient, and we allow you, when it becomes tummy, to redeem it like any other Ma'aser Sheni, and if you end up feeding it to animals, so be it. We're not particularly, we're not mocked on that, because it's normally animal food anyway, so what's the big crime over here? It says the Chacham, and that would be the Halacha. And now we get back to the topic of truma, which was our original discussion here. When it comes to karshinim that have truma sanctity, again, you cultivated these karshinim, it's really normally animal food, but you've set it aside also as truma, and therefore normally it's eaten by animals, but could be eaten by human beings. Vishal truma, if you are a human being and you are planning on dealing with it, so it's got truma kedusha. Nevertheless, beshame omrim, shorin vishafim b'tahara, you must work with it in a status of tahara, as is the case for normal truma, meaning you have to soak it b'tahara, using washing your hands first. V'shafen b'tahara, if you're going to scrub it, or you shafen, different pshatim. It could well mean that that's the process of the soaking and the grinding up to make the bread out of these like little red lentily like beans of the vetch. Whatever the case is, if you're working with it, if you're eating with it, and so on and so forth, you have to always keep it b'tahara, because it's truma, says Beishamai u'ma'achilin b'tumah. The only difference is if you're actually feeding it, ma'achilin, right, so that's a hifil, like you're causing it to be eaten by animals, says the Bar Tanura, that says pshat. So if you're feeding it to animals, then it can be done b'tumah. You're allowed to feed it to animals in a state of tumah, meaning without washing your hands first, because anyways, it's not human food now, it's animal food, and therefore no reason to keep it b'tahara. That's Beishamai shita. Beis Hillel, Omrim Shorin Batahara, Beis Hillel are lenient, and they say it's no problem. You are indeed allowed to, under normal circumstances, not wash your hands before working with this food, because just like Tilton, Karshin is not normally human food. He does, however, say, just like he did back by Tilton, if you're going to be soaking it in water, which is part of the process of making the vetch into bread. So there he wants you to do it b'tahara, because the same reason as before, if you are both putting it in water for shriya, for soaking, you're being machshir it, readying it to become tummy, and then you're also using tummy hands, you're making a tummy, both steps at once, no good. He wants a heker, he wants something that will keep you mindful of the fact that these karshinim are truma, and therefore that would prevent a non-kohen from eating it inadvertently, or letting a non-kohen eat it. So shorin b'tahara, the sharia, the soaking in the water, has to be done with washed hands, because it's both the hechsher and the conveying of tumah at the same time. But vishafin, you can do the scraping or scrubbing or the grinding, whatever it is. Umachilin, feeding it to animals. Betumah, that can be done with betumah. So he's more lenient, meaning he allows the production to happen of this, and the processing of this karshin to happen without washed hands. He's lenient. And that would be the din. Now, we have two other shitas coming here. One sheet is the sheet of Shammai. So Shammai is going to argue with Beis Shammai, which is quite unusual. Not that unusual, but it's quite unusual. And here it's a case where Shammai is going to be stricter than his school that followed him. And Shammai Omer Ye'achlu Tsarid. It has to be eaten Tsarid. It has to be eaten bone dry. That is to say, when one feeds it, say, to the animals, so he has to make sure that when he does the feeding, it's already dry. And that being the case, it's, or eating himself, other pshata, people eating it, it has to be done when it's dry, so it doesn't look like you're intentionally conveying tumah to it with your tummy hands. You're eating it with dry, and it's not hukshar, it's not now currently wet to become tummy. And finally, Rabbi Akiva is more makel than everybody. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kol Ma'asein B'tumah. Rabbi Akiva says when it comes to Karshinin, it's just not human food, really, and therefore if people are eating it, it doesn't matter. The whole handling of it to prepare for the animals and grinding it up and so on and so forth, all can be done in a state of tumah, no hand washing required. That's simple as that. The halacha does not follow Rabbi Akiva. The halacha follows Beis Shammai, excuse me, Beis Hillel, as we said before, which means that one can deal with it without washing his hands first, but he can't do Sharia soaking and with the tumah hands, doing both the readying for tumah and the conveying of tumah in the same step.